Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
Well, this is our final message on this series. We'll be changing gears when I preach to you next. Final message in the series, Praying Bold Prayers. And so this is your last chance to say this scripture out loud and proud with me this morning. And so I want to ask you to say it proud loud. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 16. On your mark, get set, let's go. So let us come boldly through the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. The challenge of this series has been threefold. Number one, if you're going to pray bold prayers, you have to understand that God is for you, not against you. Turn to your neighbor, tell him God's on your side. God's on your side. The group Citizen Way has a song on the radio that just simply says, God is on our side. And I love that song because sometimes we just feel like life is against us. But I want to tell you, God is for you. When life is against you, God is for us. Secondly, we have to remember that it's not a maybe if you're going to receive God's help. It's not an if you're going to receive His mercy. It says, there we will find mercy. We will find grace. And it doesn't just help us randomly, he says he helps us in moments when we need it most. And today, as we finish this series on praying bold prayers, I want to just clue you into this little factoid. That's oftentimes praying bold prayers requires us having bold faith that requires us to take steps of bold action. I'm going to talk to you about those a few moments later, but first let's look at Mark chapter 5 for our text this morning. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Many of you know this account in God's Word. Jesus has just been commissioned by Jairus to please come home. Please come to my house. Jairus is a well-respected guy. His daughter's sick. He asks Jesus, Come to my house, please. Heal her. She's sick. So Jesus is walking with Jairus. He's on his way to Jairus' house to heal this little girl. Everyone's filled with anticipation about the miracle that's probably about to happen. So there's not just Jairus and Jesus walking down the road. It's Jairus. It's Jesus. And I just got to tell you, as a dad, If I'm asking Jesus to come help my daughter who's sick almost to the point of death, I'm probably kind of hurrying Jesus along, aren't you? I'm saying, hey, Lord, let's not stop at this tuna fish sandwich stand right now. Let's walk faster. Let's keep moving. Let's not stop at all. And the crowds are going with them, and as they're making their way so Jesus can go and heal this sick girl, verse number 25 comes to light. In the crowd was a woman who had been sick for 12 years with a hemorrhage. She had suffered much from many doctors through the years and had become poor from paying them. Luke's gospel says she had nothing left. And she was no better, but in fact, she was worse. She had heard about all the wonderful miracles Jesus did, and that is why she came up behind him through the crowd and reached out and touched his clothes. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his clothing, I'll be healed. And sure enough, as soon as she had touched him, the bleeding stopped and she knew she was well. Jesus realized, listen to this, Jesus realized that power had gone out of him. So he turned around and in the crowd he asked, who touched my clothes? Think about it. Remember, there's a crowd of people walking with him to Jairus' house. And his disciples said to him in verse number 31, all of this crowd is pressing around you, and you ask who touched you? But he kept looking around to see who it was who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and told him what she'd done. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace, healed of your disease. Father, I'm thankful you have more than enough. We sang about this morning. You have more than enough grace. You have more than enough mercy. You have more than enough power. You have more than enough strength, wisdom, and revelation. You have more than enough joy. Whatever it is we have need of this morning, you have more than enough to dispense to your people and meet their need this morning. And I pray that today that our faith will be coupled with our prayer, and our prayer will be coupled with action, so that we will see healing, deliverance, salvation, power, and freedom come to our lives like never before. God, I pray like this woman. We will not be satisfied to suffer another moment, but we will reach out in faith. We'll step out in faith. We'll pray a bold prayer in faith until we receive what your word has promised us this morning. So God, this morning I pray for the anointing that comes from preaching the word, that will rest upon me this morning, it'll rest upon this congregation to hear and receive what the word, what the Lord and the word wants to receive this morning. And we'll give you thanks for it. Everybody in the room said amen. Amen. This lady was in a horrible place. I don't know if you've ever been in a place like this lady was. She's had the same problem for 12 years. She's done everything that she can do to get better. She spent all of her money trying to get better. She's talked to everyone she could talk to try to get better. But instead of getting better, she'd gotten worse. And here's the thing about this lady's problem, is her problems created more problems. Have you ever had a problem that created more problems? Right? Her problem was so bad that it actually caused her more problems. This type of sickness she had, this infirmity she had, this issue of blood that she had, it didn't just cause her to be weak and anemic. It also, her physical condition, it actually affected her social status. If you had this type of condition, you were not allowed to come near anyone else. You were not allowed to touch your husband. You were not allowed to be a part of society. You were not allowed to come into a worship service. You were not allowed to enter the temple. She had all these social issues in her life. It caused isolation from those who would want to help her, couldn't help her. She was isolated from them. Her physical condition had also caused financial instability. How many know that medical bills can eat your lunch? Right? It's amazing. The number one cause of bankruptcy in America today is medical bills. And this lady had lost all she had at the hands of doctors who couldn't cure her. Her problem caused more problems. Part of her condition, the rules of the day, was not only was she supposed to stay away from everyone, she was not allowed to touch anyone. Can you imagine being hurting, being helpless? And yet everyone you know knows that you're not allowed to touch them, and you're not allowed to touch her. If you give her a hug, if you give her a high five, if you encourage her, if you pat her on the back, it's according to the traditions of the day, that would mean that her uncleanliness became your uncleanliness, and now all of a sudden you're not allowed to worship, you're not allowed to participate in society for a number of days. And yet this woman who was unclean, this woman who was to be separated, she reached out and she touched Jesus. But something wonderful happened. Instead of her disease making him unclean, the holiness of God made her disease vanish. Isn't it a beautiful picture to know that we can touch Jesus with our problems, and he'll touch us with his grace every single time? What an awesome transaction. I would just challenge you today to take advantage of the transaction today. Touch Jesus with your problem and let Jesus touch you with his grace, because he'll do it every single time. See, she discovered that Jesus can fix what no one else can fix. He can cure what no one else can cure. She was out of resources, out of possibilities, out of places to turn, out of hope, but someone told her about Jesus. I'm thankful someone told her about Jesus. What if you and I made it our mission in life, when we see people who are hopeless and out of hope, to tell them about Jesus? She prayed a bold prayer. And her bold prayer caused her to step out of the shadows and touch Jesus. In your notes this morning, I put a picture of an arrow or a triangle, and that arrow has three sides: prayer, action, and faith. I put those at that triangle to remind you this morning that those are not three independent disciplines or three independent steps that we need to take as people who want to see our lives transformed by God, but those are three tethered actions we got to take. We got to be people who pray bold prayers. That's been the emphasis of our series this January. We've got to continue to pray bold prayers, and our prayers will be bolder the more faith we have in the Lord. So the more I digest God's word, the more my faith becomes built, which means then the more powerful my prayer becomes, the more established my prayer becomes, which then gives me the confidence to take the kind of steps of faith this woman took. So how can we have bold faith that motivates us to pray bold prayers and take bold steps of actions? That's the three answers I want to give you this morning. Number one, if we're going to do that, we've got to believe beyond disappointment. This is the faith factor of that triangle. The crowd was around Jesus, but this woman snuck through the crowd. She came to Jesus anyway. Pop quiz, how long had the lady been sick? 12 years. How many would say that if you've been fighting the same thing for 12 years, you know what it's like to embrace disappointment? This lady's condition, we assume it made her barren. We assume it made her stay at a distance from her husband. We assume it made her stay at a distance from the people of God, those that she should be receiving treatment from. She had a long track record of being disappointed, trying thing after thing that nothing worked. The Bible says she went to doctor after doctor and nothing worked. I began to look up what kind of treatments were the doctors in their day. I mean, they didn't have EKGs as far as I know. They didn't have x-ray machines and all these things that we have that benefit our physicians to be able to tell us and diagnose us. What type of treatment did they have in those days to help this lady? And they range from everything from mixing up concoctions of tree bark and plant-based materials that would drink them. And now if you research the things that would tell them to drink, those things would actually make you sicker and not better. One of the recourses they had was they would tell people to go stand in a certain part of a road and just stand there. And they would actually send someone to sneak up behind them and try to scare the issue out of them. Like we would cure hiccups. She tried thing after thing, paid good money, and nothing worked. You know, in 2021, there are still people who are plagued by disappointment. Some of you in this room, you've been to doctor after doctor. I'm not even talking about physical doctors. I'm talking about you've been to the doctor of education, thinking if I learn enough, I'll be better. You've been to the doctor of success, thinking if I achieve enough, I'll feel like I'm enough. You've been to the doctor of materialism that says, well, if you'll gain enough stuff, you'll have enough worth to make you feel like you're somebody. And yet you've discovered the more I get, the less I have. You've discovered the more success I have, the less I feel successful. You've discovered the more people I impress, the less impressive I feel with myself. Why? Because you've experienced disappointment over and over and over again. And the more you experience it, the more it wears you down until it finally talks you into stop trying. I know you've all heard the example of the question, if you ever been to a circus, many times you'll see an elephant tied with a weak piece of rope to a stake barely driven in the ground. And people have asked the question, well, how do you keep a strong elephant tied with a weak rope to a shallow stake? And they say the way they train an elephant to do that is when an elephant is a baby elephant, they'll tie the elephant, instead of to a stake, they'll tie it to a tree. Instead of using a rope, they'll use a chain. They'll make it impossible for that elephant to break loose from that tree. And then after that elephant has tried over and over and over again, how many know what elephants are famous for? They're having a what? A great memory. That elephant will never forget how time after time after time he pulled against that rope, he pulled against that chain, and he never got loose, and so eventually he will stop trying. And so as an adult elephant, he will find himself tied to things he has the power to break, but he won't break them because he's enslaved to the disappointments of yesterday. This woman could have lived her life being enslaved to the disappointment of 12 years of failure, 12 years of not getting better, 12 years of trying everything, spending everything, but she didn't do that. She came to Jesus. She had enough faith to say, I heard about him and I'm going to walk towards him this morning. And I would challenge us to do the same. There is hope that will not disappoint. His name is Jesus. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. There's an unnamed person in this text I would like to point your attention to this morning. We don't know if it was a he or a she. We don't know if it was one person or many persons. But the scripture says that she heard. How many know if you hear something, somebody's got to tell you something? If you hear something, somebody's broadcasting something. Scripture says she heard about the wonderful things that Jesus was doing. In other words, someone had heard about what Jesus was doing. And they made it known to this woman. They said, hey, lady, this man has healed others. Maybe he can heal you. He's delivered others. Maybe he can deliver you. He's helped people who had no help beyond themselves. Maybe he can help you. And we don't know what her immediate response was. Her immediate response may have been, well, you know, I've tried everything else. That probably won't work either. I've tried every other doctor I can think of. This probably won't work either. Why should I try? But somehow that word of faith that someone spoke into her. Let me just tell you this morning, just because you share your faith with someone and they don't respond doesn't mean you failed. We don't know if this lady heard the good news about Jesus and rejected it or whether she received it immediately. But I do know this, oftentimes we share our faith and people reject it, but what you thought was a rejection was actually just a point of impact where they begin to dwell on what you said. I don't know how long this lady dwelt on what was told to her, but somewhere where she heard turned into faith and it pushed her to Jesus. Don't you ever stop sharing Jesus, because when you think it's failed, it might be working. Some of you today, you've got loved ones and you think, oh, they must have never listened in church. They must have never heard the prayers I prayed. They must be ignoring everything I ever taught them, when the reality is what you taught them could very well be driving them nuts right now, because the Holy Spirit is dealing with them about the life they're living. See, the Word of God never leaves you alone. It never leaves you alone. And someone spoke faith to this woman. And she thought to herself, if I can just touch his clothing, I'll be healed. If someone wouldn't have witnessed to her, if someone wouldn't have told her about the goodness of God, would she have ever thought, man, maybe if I touch him, my life will be different. Number two. Pray beyond what seems reasonable. This is the prayer factor. She'd heard about all the miracles Jesus did, and that's why she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his clothes. Now, some of you are thinking, well, preacher, I don't see the word prayer anywhere in that scripture. Why would you say this is a bold prayer? Look at the scripture. It says, she came up behind Jesus. In other words, she approached Jesus. How many would just concede this morning that prayer is how we approach Jesus? Right? She physically approached him. You and I, we spiritually approach him every time we pray. And she approached him even though she knew she wasn't supposed to. She approached him even though she knew she could be ridiculed. She approached him even though she knew she could be banished. She approached him even though this seemed unreasonable. Nothing for the last 12 years had worked. Why would this work? As a matter of fact, there's no one else in Scripture. Go back and look at this. There's no protocol for what she's doing. It's not like she heard, well, you know, in that other city, someone else walked up to them and they touched them and they were healed. It's not like Peter had already started walking down the street and just his shadow would heal people. None of that had happened before. There was no protocol for her to expect, if I could just touch him, it could happen for me. But she went beyond reason. She went beyond protocol and she decided, I'm going to act and I'm going to pray in faith. You know, the Bible is filled with people who believed beyond what was reasonable. Part of praying a bold prayer is this. You've got to be able to pray some things that seem unreasonable. Amen? You know, it seemed unreasonable for Daniel to pray with his window open after they just passed a law about not praying. Right? I mean, if Daniel was my friend, I'd say, Daniel, close the window, dude. You're about to get fed to some lions. It seems unreasonable for, you know what happens right after this woman's healed? Right after this woman is healed, someone comes to Jairus and says, hey, don't bring Jesus to your house. The young girl's died. She's dead. It's not worth it. It's too late. But Jesus comes anyway. That seems unreasonable. But can I tell you that Jesus is not limited by our reason? He's not limited by what we think is possible. It seemed unreasonable for the disciples to take a little bit of bread and a little bit of fish and try to feed 5,000 people with it. That seems unreasonable, but they did it anyway. I want to challenge you this morning. Don't let other people talk you out of coming to Jesus. There's multiple places in the Word of God where people actually kept people from coming to Jesus. There was blind people that wanted to come to Jesus, but the crowd wouldn't let them. We can see the disciples keeping young kids coming to Jesus. We can see the expectations of this crowd would keep this woman from expecting to be able to approach Jesus, but she touched him anyway. She pressed through the crowd anyway. Listen, there's times in your life where people will deter you from trusting God, but I want to tell you, trust Him anyway. Pursue Him anyway. Augustine once said, multitudes still come similarly close to Christ in the means of grace, but all to no purpose, being only sucked into the crowd. I want to challenge you this morning. Never allow the crowd around you to keep you from touching the Jesus who's with you. Amen? The power of Jesus with you is always greater than the crowd around you. James 4 says, come close to God, and He'll come close to you. Number 3, act on your faith. And act on your prayer. Jesus realized at once that healing power, the minute she touched him, he realized that power had gone out from him. So he turned around in the crowd and he said, who touched me? Who touched my clothes? And the disciples said to him, look at all these people crowded around you. Why would you ask who touched you? There's been dozens, if not hundreds of people touching you, Jesus. How would you ever say who touched you? But see, this woman, she had what I would call, I don't know how many people were in that crowd. Let's say there was 100 people in that crowd. If so, she had what I would call a 1 in 100 type of faith. She wasn't satisfied just being close to Jesus or bumping into Jesus. She wanted to touch Jesus. And what a challenge for me today. Father, let me never be satisfied just being around the things of you. When you've been giving me the opportunity to touch you, to experience you, to receive from you. How many people, how many times have we come to church and we're just satisfied to sit and hear about the things of Jesus? All we have is curiosity about him. But friends, this lady had more than curiosity. She had a determination and a faith that if I touch him, my life can change. And friends, if you'll touch him today, your life can change. I said, if you touch him today, your life can change. If you touch him today, your marriage can change. Your kids can change. Your finances change. There's nothing that he touches that doesn't change. When our life doesn't change, let me just get in your face this morning. If there's a part of your life that Jesus hasn't changed, I have to ask you, have you submitted that part of your life to Jesus? Because any part he touches changes. It changes. Charles Spurgeon said, listen to this. It's not every contact with Christ that saves men. It's the arousing of yourself to come near to him. The determinate, the personal, resolute, believing touch of Jesus Christ that saves. Why did Jesus say, "Who touched me?" How many believe that Jesus was 100%? Is 100% man in this picture and 100% God? Sometimes Jesus asks questions not because he doesn't know the answer, but because he wants us to know the answer, right? Rewind back to the book of Genesis. When Adam and Eve had sinned, God comes walking through the garden in the cool of the day, and he begins to ask this question, "Adam, where are you?" Do you think God actually lost them? Did the God of the universe, I mean, there's just two people. Don't you think God Almighty could keep up with two people? Right? So he wasn't asking them, "Where are you?" so he could find them. He was asking them, "Where are you?" so they could see where they were. When Jesus asked the question of this crowd, "Who touched me?" Do you really think that he didn't know who touched her? Who touched him? I mean, I kind of wonder if he was like staring someone down, like, "Who touched me? Who was it?" You know, I just believe that woman knew he was. You ever had someone address the crowd, but you knew they were addressing you? That's what's going on. Jesus is not asking who touched me because he didn't know. He asked the question because he wanted her to know. What do you want her to know? He wanted her to have confirmation she was healed. The scripture says she felt it. But Jesus wanted her to go from feeling to knowing. He didn't want her to leave that place and think, "Well, you know, maybe after 12 years it just stopped. Maybe after 12 years, you know, it's just the sun came up a certain way that day. Is something I changed in my diet?" You know, all these things. You know, often, let me just get where I live. Often I want confirmation before I take a step of faith. But Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" so he could affirm this lady's step of faith. That's why he asked, "Who touched her?" He touched her because he wanted her to know the means by which she was healed. He says, "Daughter, your faith is being rewarded." Jesus wanted to know that you know, some people believe that if she had touched him and left, that she would have left believing. It's possible she would have left believing that she acquired something that wasn't meant for her. Right? She wasn't supposed to be around the crowd, and she certainly wasn't supposed to touch him when it comes to the tradition of the day. And if Jesus would have just noticed someone touched him and left, virtue flowed out, let her just disappear into the pages of history, she would have thought, I received something that was not for me. But Jesus said, who touched me? Because he wanted to know that what you received was just for you. It was just for you. Can I tell you, God has touches that are just for you. He has miracles that are just for you. He has grace that is just for you. He has mercy that's just for you. There are things that God wants to do in your life today that's just for you. He just wants to know, are you going to reach out and touch me? Grab hold of what I have for you today. Lastly, Jesus wanted to declare to her that she is clean. For years, the crowd has been a source of disdain, shame, rejection. But now, the crowd is the place where she's declared healed, whole, and clean. What a great picture of how God works. In the places that used to shame us, Jesus says she's clean. I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning. I understand this message today is for a pretty narrow set of people. There's application that all of us can own, and I hope we do. But specifically, the people I feel like the Lord's wanting to highlight this morning are those that have walked in and you've been dealing with an issue, not just for 5 minutes, but you've been praying over something, you've been believing for something, you've been asking God for, maybe it's for healing, maybe it's not, maybe it's deliverance, maybe you've been caught in a pattern. Maybe you've been plagued by a thought process that keeps dragging you down. Maybe your addiction isn't to a drug or a chemical. Maybe your addiction is to what someone else said over you in your past. And you've just tried to break something. You've tried and tried to move on from something. You've tried thing after thing to no avail. And maybe like this lady, instead of getting better, things have only gotten worse. I want to challenge you this morning to press through the crowd. Press through the crowd of your own emotions. Press through the crowd of your mindset. Press through the crowd of sometimes our own apathy. Press through the crowd of your disappointment. Press through the crowd of those who say it's impossible. Press through the crowd of what you've experienced before. And today, trust Jesus. Allow your faith to move you to prayer. And allow your prayer to move you to action this morning. That action point, it's so different. Some of you need to confess some things to someone. Others of you, your action point could be so many different things. But if that's you today, say, Pastor, I've been kind of attached to the same issue over and over again today. I feel my faith rising to believe again. I just want to pray for you. Would you just lift a hand real quick? That's me, Pastor. Pray for me. Amen. 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 Would you stand with me all across this room this morning? Let's stand together. And I just want to ask you to receive this prayer today. Father, I pray for every person in the room, but I especially pray for those who lifted their hands this morning. So they have lived their life by the definition of the crowd. They've lived their life by the definition of what seems reasonable and not reasonable. What it seems to be in your hands and by what seems to be out of your hands. But Father, we just declare with those people today, there's nothing out of your hands. There's nothing too hard for you. There's nothing impossible with God. So I just pray right now. I even speak freedom over people's life today. I pray for those who have been, they've been pushed aside by the crowd of their own thoughts, the crowd of disappointment, the crowd of disillusionment, some of them. I pray for those who have been pushed aside by the crowd of yesterday, of what patterns they've been in today. And I just pray that they'll reach beyond all of that. They'll reach through all of that and grab a hold of you. Grab a hold of your word, that you'll move mightily in their life, that they'll discover a miracle from God today. I also pray, Lord, that you would make each of us like those unnamed people in the scripture that were speakers of the workings of Jesus. They were speakers, they were spreaders, they were sharers of the possibility of what you can do. And when we encounter the hopeless, when we encounter the hurting, when we encounter those without, let us tell them the good news of Jesus. So I pray today we'll leave this place praying bold prayers, equipping that prayer with bold faith found from your word. And at every opportunity you give us, we take bold steps of action. In Jesus' name. God, I pray you'll bless the people today. Lord, I pray you'll bless them. Pray you'll keep them. Let your face shine upon them. Give them peace and joy both now and forever. In Jesus' name. Would you give the Lord a hand clap for his word today? We love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.